am back in the saddle again this morning. We were going right down to the wire because I was talking. Before we came on this morning, I told Jenny that it seems the last 2 days there's been a conspiracy against her because I've had two people occupy my time, one for considerably a distance into the program, and just a few minutes ago, I had to break off in a conversation, come in here and crank up Skype and turn things off, turn things on so I could do the radio show with you and with you, the people out there in the listening audience. This is Freedom Frenzy, and for the last 2 days, it actually has been a frenzy in my life. But I think we're going to have a wonderful show for you today. The well-known Mark Stevens is supposed to check in with us at the end of the very first half hour today. And I think that Mark is probably one of the best speakers when it comes to dealing with the foibles and the frivolity of the legal system. And I wanted to get him on our program because of what Jenny's going through. And I know we'll probably spend some time talking about that. But you know, Mark is also involved in the No State Project, and he's got a raft of information and anecdotal stuff that he'll put in front of you today that will demonstrate to you how insane, literally crazy it is that we're so wrapped up in this government, I was going to say a vulgar word, but we're so wrapped up in this government stuff that it consumes us, it erodes our quality of life, and we allow it. We actually allow it to take place. And Mark's going to reveal some of that for us today, I do hope. And you know, as always here on Freedom Frenzy, we expect you, the listener, to call in, weigh in, ask questions, make comments, and I think that having Mark on today would be a wonderful opportunity for you to do that. So I'm going to give out the number a little early, 1-800-313-9443. What else do we have today, dear?
Well, I am really excited about talking to Mark Stevens today. This is going to be such an awesome interview, and, I took the children yesterday afternoon. Going to the Lego store is a major event in the lives of my offspring. And pennies are counted, allowance envelopes are opened to see what sort of contents we're going to part with. And when we were at the cash register, the guy rung up our purchases, and it was $65 worth of Legos. So what is that, 10 ounces of Legos max? And over $5 in tax. And I said, you know, I loathe paying sales tax. I loathe it. And he looked at me and he goes, well, it is kind of a shock to the system because if you're not from Texas, the sales tax is really high and it's very high in Austin. And I said, I don't care. It's absolute theft. All of these products that I'm purchasing have been taxed and taxed and taxed. The money I'm using to pay for it has already been taxed many times over. And now, finally, when I'm going to consume something, I'm paying tax again. And he got very uncomfortable. I really was mad. And I thought, I just like to go on a total no buying spree for a year if it were possible.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's just disgusting, Jerry. We cannot do anything. There's no act we can do apart from the government. The government's involved in every area of our life. And so Mark is going to teach us how to flick boogers at the government effectively. And that is exactly what we
want to
do.
We want to ask Mark if he wants to be stuck with that persona as a booger flicker.
Okay. It's like the professional booger flicker.
All right. Well, we're going to cut away to a break, and when we come back, we're going to kick it off with Hit and Run News. Go grab something nice. We'll be right back.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary?
The system is rigged.
These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court.
Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute.
Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Comrades, like I said, it's time for Hit and Run News. And I guess this very first item really isn't a news item. Jenny, did you by any chance catch wind of the, or I know you don't have a television, but did you by any chance run across any information about that Obama debt-cutting strategy that was revealed yesterday evening?
No, I'm afraid I was completely absorbed in cutting out pattern pieces. I'm afraid I didn't miss that.
Well, Joe Biden didn't either. He didn't watch it because he fell asleep during the middle of it. Right on national television, he took a nap.
It's all garbage. Like, yawn. This is all smoke and whistles.
Yeah, I wonder if he was snoring while his boss, Barry, was trying to sell the deal.
But, no, that'll be me, Jerry. When we hit the road campaigning for something, you'll be talking away. I'll be sound asleep behind you with my knitting needles in hand.
Well,
just pick me up when the gunfire starts.
Ooh, interesting. I didn't watch Barry either, but I've scanned some of the commentary and looked at the tenets of what he offered last night. And I'll be quite frank with you, it seems to be more smoke and mirrors. But I did get the idea, and this actually seemed to be the most prominent thing that popped off the paper at me this morning, was that Barry is very, very keen on the idea of being seen in the role of being the one that was taking charge. I mean, it just reeks of that. But my take on the package is that they intend to at least cut $500 billion, or maybe in a more dramatic fashion, I should have said a $500 trillion of the federal debt. Does that sound like more money? $500 trillion?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. The other $9.5 trillion that was indicated, and we're talking about a $9.5 trillion reduction, seems to rely merely on inflation. And it will come by the way of dollar devaluation over the next 10 years to reduce the amount of the debt. What a novel concept, right? Hogwash. You know, just like we talked about yesterday, those people up there, and I'm talking about from the president all the way down to the guys that are in the Senate and the House and maybe even the pages, aren't really interested in doing anything that would cause them to lose their place in the big game. In other words, the spending of money, any money, because that's the nexus of their power. Without the power to spend, or in the case of the executive branch, direct the spending, they are seriously afraid that we, the American people, that is, might just discover that there's a whole heap of them that we really don't need. If we did, we'd be able to reverse a trend that has been in place for quite some time. Here, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, here's a quote from Stephen Moore of the Wall Street Journal that exposes the entire situation. More Americans work for the government than work in construction, farming, fishing, forestry, manufacturing, mining, and utilities combined. We have moved decisively from a nation of makers to a nation of takers. Nearly half of the $2.2 trillion cost of state and local governments is the $1 trillion a year tab to pay for the benefits of state and local employees. Isn't that phenomenal?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, not only have we shifted jobs out of the country because of NAFTA and GATT and this so-called free trade movement, but government has literally been on steroids. And we're talking about from the city level all the way up to the federal level. And it's out of control.
Totally out of control. And what's incredible to me is no government, state, county, federal, wants to start dismantling the power of government. And that's why they're not going to cut costs. They're not going to get rid of all the entities, bureaucracies, agencies, and employees that terrorize our daily existence. Because that is just not an option. And so they're totally in denial about where this is going to end up. It's frightening, Jerry. My one hope is that all these government employees or these bureaucrats and bureaucracies, they are only doing it for a paycheck. So when the whole thing melts down and they no longer have a paycheck, they will no longer terrorize us. That is my hope.
Well, I had an interesting thing happen yesterday evening. You know, I told you I was going to go over and finish up my drum project. Well, I did. And the guy's house who I was at, his brother was there. And his brother is fixing to go out west. He's going to the state of Oklahoma, and I won't be any more precise than that. But he's going after a band leader position at a university inside the state of Oklahoma. And it's a big deal, okay? But we got into a conversation yesterday evening, and we covered the gamut. We talked about the Federal Reserve System and government in general. And this guy leans to the left markedly, okay? As a matter of fact, he probably would lean to the left in a 100-mile headwind. But I think that... you would have enjoyed it. You would have enjoyed the conversation last night and no doubt would have been a wonderful ally in the deal too. But he's actually of the mind that we need more government. And we need more government and we need to be paying more taxes. And he's prepared for that. He said that would be a good thing. We should pay more taxes and get more services out of government. But, you know, like a great many Americans, he really doesn't understand. Like, you know, one of the things when you start talking about cutting taxes and the size of government and whatnot, and particularly when you're talking about the federal government, one of the very first things that people say was, you know, well, how are we going to have fire departments and police protection and who's going to pay for the roads and stuff? And, you know, I think that this is so cloudy in the minds of the average American that it would be a boon for someone, maybe even you and I, to draw up a nice, pretty poster kind of looking thing that describes the functions of the government and those things that are outside the scope of what they're really supposed to be doing. Is that a thought?
That is a thought. And for this guy, if he's such a wonderful socialist, you can tell him that you accept personal checks. He doesn't have to wait for the government to steal more of his money and give it to you. You'll just take it now.
Well, I don't get any government money.
I know. I'm just being sarcastic, Jerry, but every time I run into somebody, on the rare occasion that I do, that does believe in socialism, I'll say, well, I'll take a check now. You don't have to wait for the government to take it away from you and hand it to me.
Well, here we have a college instructor, and I took the public education system to task, too. And he recognizes that the product in the, because that's where the conversation started. We talked about people on the internet and people in chat rooms and stuff, and the fact that the educational system is turning out such an inferior product that the written language in America, and probably around the world for that matter, but in America specifically, it's dying. Have you read any of the writing of most anybody on the internet that's not writing for a living? It is horrible.
Yeah,
and I find it disgusting actually, but that's where we're at, and it's because of the inferior product of the public school system. And I juxtaposed my experience with the homeschool community in the years that I've coached football and other ways that I've come in contact with the homeschool community, and I said they're producing an exceptional product, and the only rebuttal that I got from him was the common one, the lack of socialization of the kids.
Oh, dear. Good.
I know, and I countered that.
Aren't you worried about socialization? The first thing I say is, yes, that's why they're not in government school.
I sort of went there, the chestnut that they threw out, or he threw out last night, was the fact that most of these homeschoolers are really not encouraged to teach their children academic material. They're more inclined to be focused on indoctrination in their religious viewpoint.
What? This guy is a total idiot. Where does he live?
He's not an idiot. He's actually a pretty sharp man. He's just a little bit misguided. And you know,
Jerry, you know what? He clearly has not associated with very many homeschoolers because if you want to first of all talk about indoctrination, government school is pure indoctrination. They're certainly not teaching academics. And quite frankly, yesterday we had gymnastics and a number of my children wanted to come for the sole purpose of playing with the large group of children from government school that are there for the after school care program that this gymnastics company does. And I'm pulling the plug because Caroline hunkered down with a couple of girls and then she tells us their conversation the whole way home, which included a 7-year-old bringing pornography to school and so on and so forth. I said, this is so asinine and ridiculous. No more. I do not want you associating with those people. We got to cut away to a break. We'll be back in a moment. This is Freedom Frenzy.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Are you still paying your credit cards and so-called bank loans thinking that you owe the money? Do you feel like it's your moral obligation but can't see an end in sight? Well, what if I told you that in truth, you don't owe a single penny? And that the banks know this and hope you don't find out. Here's where we come in. Free2Prosper.com specializes in a profound debt repudiation method which challenges the validity of your so-called debts, morally frees you from the burdens, and protects your property. Our system is often superior to settlement, bankruptcy, or consolidation, which often leave you in a worse situation. If you feel the moral obligation to take care of yourself and your family, then I urge you to consider taking action right now. The economy will not wait. If you want to know more so you can prosper through the economic collapse, all while staying honorable and true to yourself, then call 877-417-8393. That's 877-417-8393. Or visit free2prosper.com right now.
A big disclaimer before y'all get the hate mail going, which I totally deserve. I should not have called the ignoramus Barry's referring to an idiot. It is not his fault that he's so ignorant. And if our boast is Christ, that was a very egotistical, horrid thing to say. But, you know, I strongly disagree with his statements, so on and so forth.
And you know why that was probably a good thing, dear?
What?
Is I purposefully, because we were going to have Mark Stevens on today, sent an e-blast to his brother about the program today. hand.
Nice, Jerry. And you just set me up to lose my temper. Now, in this man's defense, Jerry was telling me off air that he is surrounded by very legalistic Christians who homeschool. And
No. I'm saying that is probably the extent of his exposure to the homeschool community. Not that he's surrounded by them. And you know, quite frankly, in today's secular world, there are people that have a hard time dealing with devout religious viewpoints out of anybody on anything. And it could be anything from Protestantism to voodoo, and they lump it all in the same basket because, you know, anybody that has a staunch viewpoint, and particularly, I guess, if they come across with a holier-than-thou attitude, it rankles some people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally know what you're saying, Jerry. And quite frankly, to people who cannot stand pro-lifers, when they've been exposed to me, they'll say, "You're the only pro-lifer that I don't want to stab your eyes out with forks." And I have a good many friends, dear friends, that are absolutely pro-choice. And I am aggressively pro-life, and I consider these people very good friends and really neat people. Okay, so I'll probably get some emails about that. Anyway, I want to jump to today in history really fast because a lot of cool stuff happened today in history. April 14th. I'm really loving this little thing. John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln in 1865.
And it's not a holiday? Anywhere? Gah, how did that happen?
Okay, in 1775, Benjamin Rush was among those who founded the first American anti-slavery society. I'm surprised Benjamin Franklin didn't establish it before this 1775. Okay, April 14th. Number next, 1912, Jerry, what happened? 10:40 p.m., the band played Nearer My God to Thee.
1912.
April 14th, 11:40 p.m., the band plays Nearer My God to Thee. What happened?
You're going to have to give me that one, dear.
Titanic!
Golly! Okay.
Okay.
I was thinking of something on dry land. That's what happened.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, this is the last one. On April 14th, I didn't record the year. Anyway, the first Pony Express rider reached his destination in San Francisco.
Ooh, is that where they established the legacy of slow mail?
Yes, and snail mail was given birth. All right, we do have a couple callers in the queue, but we got to get you guys to call back, unfortunately, because Mark is on the line, and it would be fun to introduce him. I think, in my never-to-be-humble opinion, before we cut away.
Well, wait a minute. These guys may have called in because they wanted to be first in the queue to talk to Mark, too. So if that's the case, please hang on.
Okay? Yeah, don't go anywhere if you're doing that. If you wanted to pontificate on, was it Mars? They're false moons that are actually alien ships?
Phobos and Deimos?
Yes, can we call back Friday? But if you want to text Mark, stand by.
Okay, well, you know, we've been all over the map already this morning. We've probably made somebody upset in their calling.
I hope so. If I hate mail, I just start thinking, is anybody listening? All right, Jerry, introduce our guest.
You want to bring him on now, right, before we go to the break? Let's not do that to him. Let's give him a big build-up and then bring him on.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Our guest today, as we've told you a little bit earlier, is Mark Stevens. He's the author of Adventures in Legal Land, and I've got to get another copy of that because I've read it, and I put it on the bookshelf, and somebody asked me about it, and I gave it to him, and it's never come back, and I can't remember who I gave it to. That happens to a lot of my good books because I guess I'm just one of those fools that lends them out. Mark has a very, very novel way of looking at the legal system and our life here in America, and you're going to be thrilled if you've never heard him, and you're still probably going to be very much excited if you have, because it's always wonderful to hear the thoughts again. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generation.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
All right, I know for certain sure that this is going to become one of the more heavily hit programs in the archives here on RBN, because I have a feeling that this is going to be an excellent show. With no further ado, let's bring Mark Stevens on. Good morning, Mark.
Well, good morning, and I do appreciate that lead, and that you're too kind.
We are so excited about having you, Mark. And back in September, I first stumbled across you because I got wrongfully pulled over by a jackboot in state costume, and was deciding what course of action I would take in getting free of his tentacles. And so I watched a couple of your videos online and got inspired and decided I could take on the Municipal Court of Austin. And then a little while ago, Jerry said, let's interview Mark. And I go to your website. Oh, who's Mark Stevens? Oh, I love this guy! So thanks for joining us.
Well, I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been on RBN for a while. I think it's been about 6 months.
Wow. Well, Mark, there's always new people coming into this mindset. Could you take a little bit of time and tell our listening audience a little bit about you, who you are, what you are, and maybe even get down to the family connotations, because, you know, the women folk love that stuff too.
Yeah, they tend to. Well, I kind of just stumbled onto the legal system. Just real quick, I took on a major employer in Long Island, where I'm originally from. I know, big surprise. And, one thing that, I went through was going through all this for myself to go get in this labor dispute and learning all the law and New York labor law. It's a horrible maze of deception. And I put all this together for myself, and I put the brief together, and I go into the court, and the judge basically says he rules against me and walks out. And it turns out, after a little investigation, the defendant owned the building the court was located in. So that was kind of my introduction.
Introduction to the no justice system.
Yeah. So I kind of stumbled, and when I moved out here to Phoenix to go to school and work, I kind of stumbled upon the whole Patriot community, and I started researching a lot of that, and started noticing a lot of cracks in the mythology, that it just seemed to be that there was a lot of claims that were being made, and if you investigated them, they turned out to be BS also. So there was a whole thing about, oh, citizenship is what you need to be, and you got to have the big capital letter C and not be a citizen of this, and then you're a citizen of that, and then you're not taxable, and it turns out the complete opposite was the truth. It just seemed that there's too many people in it for money. And now making money's not bad, but do it honestly. And so the more I investigated and this, the whole system, the more it started to collapse. And then I know I'm not being very clear here, but I started investigating why judges could have blanket immunity for whatever they do, and I stumbled upon some cases that stated that the government had no duty to protect anybody. Well, I connected that to all the research I had done on citizenship, that citizenship is being a member of the body politic, owing a duty of allegiance in return for a duty of protection, and that they're reciprocal obligations. So when we hear a case is saying that the government has no duty to protect you. So from that, I saw that the whole thing completely collapsed, because the only thing that made you a citizen was the duty of protection and the duty of allegiance, and one of them didn't even exist.
You know, what kills me about the, as I've been sniffing around the Austin Police Department, we had a car wreck. Somebody hit us on the highway, and I went down to get the police report, and it was made very clear to me that police are under no obligation to show up to a crime scene. They are under no obligation to provide you with a report of the crime, and when you're actually hit in a traffic incident, then there is proof of loss, injury, or victim, which is the number one requirement for a criminality to be proven. But, of course, the second element is criminality as its causal agent. And it's hilarious to me that the police department is under no obligation to report when actual injury has taken place, but they feel that they have the authority to just pull you over and give you a traffic citation for whatever they view your problem to be.
Yeah, I have posted on my website from one of the California appellate courts, which has never been overturned, where they come out, and this is a direct quote: "Police officers have no affirmative statutory duty to do anything." Wow. So it's a bit startling, and some people may say, oh, that's just California, that's an activist court. It's part of the code. You go to the government code in California, and yeah, the government code in California, I believe it's section 845. You cannot hold a government agency accountable for not providing protection.
Yep.
Because that's not what they're there to do.
Well, that's the only thing that leaves, then, is their revenue officers.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. They're raising billions and billions of dollars. It's a business. Government is a business. We're the fodder. You know, it's like one big plantation. I've said for a long time. Yeah. The Civil War just put us all on the plantation.
Yeah, well, you know, the slaves get happier when they have more company. Misery likes company.
Yeah, you know, it's something that they attract police officers, people to come into, because some of them are idealists that actually, get in for the right, for what they believe are the right reasons. And, you know, if the ones who are honest will tell you, it's not about protection. I mean, look, a stark example is you go back to what happened in Columbine in 99. Were the cops rushing in with their machine guns to protect those kids? No, they were cowering outside. When do they rush into a house with machine guns? When they think that people have illegal plants.
I love the logic on that, illegal plants, and then they break down your door at 2 a.m. My husband was in a restaurant last night, and he said five costumed jackboots came in, and he was so disgusted by their attitude and arrogance and the suspicious way they looked at everybody in the restaurant. And usually my husband doesn't say these kinds of things. He's kind of more of a temperate personality, unlike his wife. And, you know, I was at Whole Foods in Austin over Christmas, and they had hired some sort of a gunned security guy, and he was standing guard over the cheese section, and I was irate. I took my children, and we marched out, and I just said, what have we come to when a grocery store hires a weaponed officer to protect cheese? If someone really wanted a half pound of cheddar that bad, go for it. But you're going to gun him down in a place bustling with families? It just infuriated me.
Wow, you get more and more of this all the time. Look at the video that's going around about the 6-year-old girl that was molested by TSA. Mm-hmm. A 6-year-old girl. Yeah, a 6-year-old girl.
And the parents are videotaping it. If somebody wants to touch my child, if a TSA agent wants to touch my child like that, I can assure you we're going to both be in the hospital shortly after he accosts my child.
I'm going to find another mode of transportation. I'm not going to, I wouldn't allow that.
Yeah.
I would not have been videotaping it. I would have been leaving that. There's no way in the world I would have subjected my child to that.
Let me ask you something, Mark. You know, we have a lot of listeners, and Jerry and I are amongst them. As we are dealing with the bureaucracy, my opinion's kind of been use the rules of the bureaucracy against itself, because people don't really understand how the rules work that are bureaucrats working for the machine. And you can hopefully entangle them in their own matrix. But what do you say in terms of extricating ourselves?
Well, I like the way of getting them to trap themselves. That is something that I do. I don't necessarily look to get them to contradict the law, because they don't care. I mean, they just don't get, they don't care.
Right.
So what I do is I get them, without necessarily quoting the law, I ask certain questions and get them to commit to a position I know in advance they can't maintain, just like a presumption of innocence. I mean, we all know that's a fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get them to commit in front of all these people to certain positions, and then ask questions, obviously, to bring out that that's a contradiction. I mean, it's just like asking an IRS, I did this just a couple weeks ago, I asked an IRS agent, we were supposed to be doing a collection due process hearing, which, of course, is just a euphemism, and I asked if my client was entitled to a fair hearing. And she said yes. And, well, can my client get a fair hearing if there's a conflict of interest? And she snaps back at me, sir, there is no conflict of interest. That might be, I don't know. I'm just asking you a question, yes or no, just answer, you know, responsibly. She wouldn't do it. So here I've already, you know, raised a credibility issue, and I've only asked two questions. So that, to me, is a lot more effective than trying to get them to contradict the law, which obviously the fact that they're working for the IRS, they don't care.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, I've been to a couple of CDPH hearings as moral support and as a witness, and I, having read the code book myself, knew what all was supposed to have gone on in the CDPH hearing, and knew the documents that they were supposed to have ready there at that meeting, and just saw them completely disregard everything. And the fellow that I had gone with, the very first time we went, he had sent them a certified letter telling them that he was going to record, as is his right, the meeting.
Right.
And he went in and took a tape recorder out and put it on the table and turned it on. And the two women that were going to be conducting the hearing jumped up, and Mark, they were screaming as they ran out of the room. They were screaming for security. And the guy, you know, the big guy with the, you know, filled up the whole doorway, came in there, and what seems to be the problem? There's no problem here. We're kind of concerned that, you know, federal employees or people working for the IRS, are their behavior is such. You know, is that drug-induced, or is that too much coffee, or what? Well, they wouldn't conduct the hearing unless my friend turned off and took the battery out of the tape recorder.
So did he?
Which he did, but he didn't. They didn't know that he had a pen in his pocket that also was recording the whole event.
Nice.
And we got it all on audio records, and it was really neat to go back and listen to it again and hear them completely disavow any of the requirements that's in their own code.
Yeah, I'm amazed that they even provided you with a face-to-face meeting, because they typically don't do that with collection due process unless you ask for the equivalent, which you can't get an appeal from.
Well, that's why we went down there to do that. He was actually trying to go the whole full tilt boogie and to get them on the record violating their own requirements. That's why we went through that whole dog and pony show. And I also went to tax court with him. And that was an experience. And I learned that there's no adjudication of law at tax court. All it is you owe us money. You've already, basically by appealing to the tax court, you've already indicated that you recognize that you owe us money. And the whole issue at tax court is, when can you pay it?
Yeah, that's what it comes down to. It's not, they'll make the certain decisions on issues of law, always in favor of the IRS. They will never make decisions on issues of fact. And that's something that I go through. And I have a number of phone calls that I've put on my website about that. They will not in any shape or form discuss the facts, ever. And so we have one situation where this is standard. They got a protective order against my client so that the IRS attorney did not even have to disclose the name of the agent who did the substitute for return.
Whoa!
Now, you mean the fraudulent substitute for return?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, of course, they want. So the discovery consisted of basically who are the witnesses you rely on, what are their names and contact information, which is standard discovery so that you can call them at trial, even if the IRS is not going to call them. So I have been viciously attacked by some attorneys online saying that the agent is irrelevant. Well, wait a minute. How can the agent who did the substitute for return that the presumption of correctness the commissioner enjoys, how could that possibly be irrelevant? It's all classic diversion, which is everything that's being done with government. It's all diversion and fear. And so they get protective orders. They do not have to disclose the name of the agent. I mean, it's just, in fact, if you listen to the phone call with the attorney that I did, it was a pretrial conference. Her name was Kimberly Clark. Go figure out that stupid pseudonym. Kimberly Clark. I'm like, okay.
It's a runny nose, doesn't it?
Yeah. She tells us on the pretrial hearing, so anybody familiar with court knows where I'm going with this.
Right.
She doesn't even know the name of the agent who she relies on. She doesn't even know if he works for the agency. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. If I was doing this and I was in pretrial and I was blasting them by saying everything is frivolous, it's this, it's a waste of this, and I had done zero investigation, I deserve to be sanctioned. But this IRS lawyer not only gets a protective order, she doesn't even get sanctioned for doing no investigation whatsoever.
This is the sort of, Mark, I got the speeding ticket last September, and I did a motion of discovery to ask for all this stuff, and the prosecutor finally handed it over months and months later by order of the judge. And one of the things he gave me was the affidavit that was signed against me. And I had no idea who the person who signed it and swore in front of the deputy clerk of the municipal court, who that person was. So I Googled the person. Couldn't even find that someone by that name existed in Austin. And then I just went down to the courthouse and started knocking on doors, picking up phones to locked offices, asking, who is this person? And I find out it's an employee of the deputy clerk's office that signed the traffic affidavit against me.
Wow. Talk
also,
about blatant.
Third-degree felony. Wow.
Well, yeah, you'll have to tell Mark about the story about your boy, too, and how he picked up on the reaction of the people at the courthouse.
Oh, yeah, Mark. It's been crazy. And of course, I've just been, I told Jerry last week that basically the way I've approached this traffic ticket is that I'm in the dark, stumbling around, looking for the light switch, and I'm just telling everybody what I've hit on the way to hopefully the light switch. I'll tell you a little more and get your feedback on it when you come back. This is Freedom Frenzy. We're going to cut away to a break. We've got Mark Stevens, author of Legaland, Adventures in Legaland, with us. Stay tuned. This is a great show.
If you've ever used Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella for birth control, you must listen to this important notice. The FDA says these drugs may cause serious heart and health problems. If you or a loved one took Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella and developed any complications, these pills may be to blame. Call Phillips National Injury Group to protect your rights. If you suspect these drugs may have caused a serious injury, this announcement is for you and your family. Yaz, Yasmin, or Ocella may cause deep vein thrombosis, pulmonary heart attack, stroke, or even death. If so, you or your family may be entitled to significant compensation.
For legal help with the effects of Yaz, Yasmin, and Ocella, call the Phillips National Injury Group at 800-358-8063. That's 800-358-8063. Injured by Yaz, Yasmin, and Ocella, call 800-358-8063. Attorney responsible for this advertisement is Phillips National Injury Group with offices at 20 East Thomas Road, Suite 2600, 26th floor, Phoenix, Arizona, 85012. Admitted in Arizona and California. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, cases of this type may be referred to local counsel for principal responsibility. This is an advertisement and a paid announcer.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendabite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Alright, I've already recognized that 2 hours is probably not enough time because this is going to be fun. Jenny, you want to finish up with where you were going before we went to the break, and then I'll dash in with what I wanted to do with Mark?
Nah, my traffic ticket can wait. I want everybody to hear this stuff, especially since we're down to the last hour, about what you guys were talking about. So please take the torch and run, Jerry.
Okay. In our communication back and forth, Mark and I, he'd indicated that because I guess it's tax season, that he's been a pretty busy guy. He covered up, as I think is the phrase that he used. And I asked Mark during the break to please expand on that, because tomorrow being April 15th, this might be a novel time to hear what he's got to say. So well, please proceed, Mark.
Thank you. Well, what we were just talking about is the whole idea of taxation, and that it's, you know, the biggest complaint and the most, you know, the real problem we have with government is the compulsory support. If you know, nobody voluntarily supports it, and that is the core issue there, that it's based on violence, and that's, and without always having to say that, I'm able to use that to show that the IRS or the Franchise Tax Board or whatever it happens to be, they have no basis in fact to show that me, you, or anyone else that owes any taxes. So it's just all fear, you know, fear. And so one of the things I've done recently is I want to bring that out. And so I posted on my website an affidavit of fear. And there's a number of reasons why I'm doing that. And what we were just talking about is I spoke to a tax attorney with the Franchise Tax Board a couple of weeks ago, and I asked her, because what the tax people do is they use the 1099s and W-2s, they use that information against you. And they want to neglect the whole thing that, oh, we have to apply the Constitution to these facts, and we and none of them are qualified to do that, but I'll get to that. So when I, because all of those are given on the threat, fear, you know, threat, duress, and coercion, it's a question of admissibility. So one of the questions I always ask them is there any admissible evidence against my client that they're taxpayers and taxable income? Remember, it's always sticking to the facts, never getting into a debate on what the interpretation of the law is. They'll always beat you on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked this attorney, and that's the benefit of working with an attorney, at least they understand some of these basic concepts of law and admissibility, where regular agents, they don't know what they're talking about. So I asked her, look, is information and testimony given on the threat, duress, and coercion considered admissible? And she says, no, of course not. So I said, oh, well, I'm glad we're in agreement there, because the 1099 that is the basis of your assessment was given on the threat, duress, and coercion, and since you just admitted that it's not admissible, and being that's the whole basis of your assessment, we'd like it vacated and an apology given to my client. And she disagreed. Now, they accuse us of semantics. She turns around and says, no, I didn't agree to that. I don't, she doesn't believe that when the government forces you to do something, that it's not threat, duress, and coercion.
So did you just have the biggest grin on your face when she said exactly what you needed her to say?
It's like yesterday, I had two IRS agents, two of them, admit to me that they weren't qualified to do their job. They're admitting they're not qualified to apply the Constitution and federal law. Well, then who are you to say my client's a taxpayer and has an obligation to file? So I went back and forth a bit with this attorney. Now, she was a nice woman, I'll give her that. She wasn't your typical IRS or tax attorney. So I spoke to her again. I said, look, we'll get this affidavit of fear from my clients, from the reporting agency, and then we'll talk about, again, I want you to have the affidavit. Because I told her, she said, she doesn't believe that people pay taxes out of fear. I said, well, wait a minute. You're an attorney. You do understand you have absolutely no standing whatsoever to testify to my client or somebody else's mental state. If the company says they're only doing it out of fear, you are in absolutely no position to counter that.
And why else would they be doing it? Civic duty?
Yeah.
You know, that.